Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Michael Bach, and I am a PhD student at Binghamton University in upstate New York in the Decker Nursing School. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Sardar Atav for his involvement in the study and also making this presentation possible. The title of our presentation is Auto Body Paint Workers and Assessment of Respirators and Levels of Fatigue. Dr. Atav and I, don't have any relationships to disclose financially. Fatigue within the literature is a state of weariness, described as a state of weariness or exhaustion resulting from insufficient sleep, prolonged work, or extended periods of stress or anxiety. Fatigue can be categorized as acute, chronic, and persistent state of tiredness that leads to mental and physical exhaustion. And also, long effects of fatigue on health prevent people from functioning within normal boundaries, creating obvious implications for workplace and public safety. Okay, some causes of fatigue within the workplace could be from long working hours, poor scheduling, night shift work, excessive stress, insufficient recovery time, long periods of being awake, harsh work environments, mentally or physically demanding activity, and inadequate rest breaks. Causes of fatigue outside of the workplace may be due to sleep deprivation, excessive social life, family responsibilities or other employment, long travel times, or sleep disorders. Some effects of fatigue reduce the ability to concentrate, make decisions, communicate effectively, recognize risks, perform efficiently, control emotions, or handle stress. Remember and recall events and their sequences, or coordinate hand-eye movements. Also, effects of fatigue increase the likelihood of errors, slowed reaction times, accidents, and long-term negative health effects such as heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, GI disorders, and depression and anxiety. Prevention of fatigue in the workplace may lead to better health and safety outcomes, fewer workplace incidents and injuries, reduction in absenteeism and staff turnover, which is prevalent in the auto body fields, and also better performance and productivity. Now, the purpose of our study was to examine work and outside work factors that contribute to fatigue among auto body workers in northeastern Pennsylvania and focus on their types of respirator and their use. To that end, 60 workers were surveyed from seven different small auto body shops as a pilot study towards doctoral research. There's over 35,000 auto body shops in the United States, and within those 35,000 shops, there's 170,000 plus workers or technicians. This number is actually projected to increase by 32,000 between the years of 2010 and 2020, and these technicians are routinely exposed to paint and solvents, and not only within the paint, but actually auto body fillers as well. Shop policies are guided by OSHA and NIOSH. OSHA sets the standard and enforces standards, and also provides training and outreach and educational assistance. NIOSH is the federal agency responsible for conducting research and making recommendations for the prevention of work-related injuries and illness. Now, auto body paint workers can decrease their chemical exposure. We identified two areas that they can do this in, the structural environment or where they work, or also the PPEs or protective equipment. With the structural environment, we start with the designated spray area or spray booths. There's three different types. There's homemade, there's a cross draft. Cross draft booths can cost around $20,000. And the gold standard, everybody wants the downdraft booth, but it's very expensive. It's $80,000. Gun selection is also part of structure environment. The HVLP, or high volume, low pressure, atomizes the chemicals appropriately to get the right amount of coverage effectively without waste, and also atomizing the product for the person to actually breathe. Also, the type of paint that used is also prevalent. The waterborne paints broke onto the market about 10 years ago, and California was very prolific with trying to institute laws to use these waterborne paints. The only trouble with waterborne paints is they do not dry as efficiently as polyurethane, so polyurethane is still the standard within the country. personal protective equipment, of course, is the gloves, spray suits, head socks, and respirators. And also, the correct type of PPE are very expensive, and many shops don't offer them. One example would be latex gloves, are relatively inexpensive at $7 a box, but the nitrile gloves, which actually do the most protection, are $14. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but on a weekly basis, it's a lot of money for the shops. This next slide is interesting. Gives a perspective of respirators that could be found in the auto body shop, and I've personally used all of these respirators in my past jobs. Negative pressure and positive pressure are the two main types. Negative pressure actually uses the accessory muscles of the person using the respirator. So the N95 dust mask is for basic use, but many of our participants stated that they use this as their primary respirator. It is also the least expensive at maybe $2 a piece. The half mask offers very good protection, and it is used a lot in the auto body field, and it's reasonably priced, $20 to $25. Positive pressure masks are just what they say they are. They actually use a pump of some kind or a motor to actually drive the air through the respirator filters. So the person using the respirator doesn't have to actually use their accessory muscles to draw the air through the filter. Powered air purifying respirator, or the PAPR, they offer excellent protection. They cover the full face or with a hood. They are self-contained, which means they have a pack that the operator uses. It's on his back, and it weighs about 15 to 18 pounds. So an eight-hour day, you can just imagine that weight could be influential. And it is very expensive. It's just under $1,000 for a setup for most brands. The supplied air respirator, or the SAR, offers excellent protection, as does the PAPR. It is very expensive. Utilizes an external air source, and that air source is actually, this one is a little different than all the other ones. It draws the air from outside of the spray booth. All the other ones are right on the operator within the workspace, and this actually takes the air from outside of the workspace. The only problem with this that was noted was that the airlines are cumbersome, and the operator has to use a second airline. So the one goes to his spray gun, but then the other one he has to drag around on his hip. So the type of respirator that's used may be associated with levels of fatigue. Dr. Peter Winwood out of Australia granted the use of his offer scale. This is a survey instrument that we did use. It's also known as the Occupational Fatigue Exhaustion Recovery State Scale. It does consist of 15 items, and the responses are given using a 7-point Likert scale, ranging from strongly agree to strongly disagree based on the experiences of fatigue and the strain at work or at home over months. And it does include 4 subscales. So it is a 15-item scale, 5 questions per item, but I'll get to why we have 4 subcategories. Chronic fatigue, acute fatigue, and intershift recovery fatigue were assessed, but when you take intershift recovery fatigue and reverse the scores, we come up with persistent fatigue. So the offer scale is a unique scale in that it has been tested extensively on healthcare workers, and specifically nurses, and it has been demonstrated to have a high internal reliability and test-retest reliability, and it is free of gender bias. It can be distinguished between acute and chronic states and measure recovery from fatigue in between work shifts. And also we assessed from our participants these other test responses, which includes type of respirator, demographics, illnesses and absences, and sleep measures, illicit drugs and alcohol consumption, and tobacco use and facial hair. And facial hair could be prevalent with the type of respirator used and the seal that they would get with the respirator. So now we have our descriptive findings. First, we talk about the type of respirator up here in the upper left-hand corner. And you'll see that most of our participants chose the dust mask as their primary respirator in the auto body field. And the least amount chose the supplied air respirator, and that one is the one that draws the air from outside of the workspace. Next, we have the age category. Our age range was between 18 and 66 years old, but you'll see that the ages of 51 and over are actually much less than all the other groupings. Now we go down to days of absence due to illness throughout the year. Our participants chose 0 to 3 days of illness per year. An overwhelming amount chose that number. And also sleep hours of sleep, we had two different categories, 5 to 7 hours and 8 to 10 hours. And most of them did choose the 5 to 7 hours of sleep per night. Also, we asked about their smoking status, and most of them did not smoke. An overwhelming amount of them did not use illicit drugs. Alcohol drinks per week were just about split between 0 drinks a week and 1 to 8 drinks a week. And facial hair, the majority actually did have facial hair throughout the year. So that may influence also our seal of our respirators. Now this is the offer subscale, means by type of respirator. And this did not offer a statistical difference. But here we see chronic fatigue. And before we start with these, just to understand, the higher numbers is higher levels of fatigue or higher levels of intershift recovery. So as we go through these, it might give you a frame of mind to think of. You'll see the higher the number belongs to the PAPR group. They're the people that used the air purifying respirator that they carried with them at 51.3. And the supplied air actually had the lowest of the group with chronic fatigue. So highest was with the PAPR and the lowest was with the supplied air. For acute fatigue, we have the PAPR and the dust mask sharing almost the top spot for acute fatigue. And this supplied air respirator did have the least amount of acute fatigue. For intershift recovery, we see that supplied air respirators offered the highest intershift recovery of the people wearing the supplied air respirators. And the PAPR offered the lowest intershift recovery. Then we reverse the scores and we come up with persistent fatigue, and we see that the PAPR, again, has the highest levels of persistent fatigue. And we're just about split on the lowest, but the supplied air is the lowest finding for persistent fatigue. Now we have the offer subscale means by respirator use, and this was a yes or no answer, and there was no statistical difference. But with chronic fatigue, the workers that chose that they did wear a respirator had higher levels of chronic fatigue. Workers that did use respirators also had higher levels of acute fatigue. Workers who did use respirators had lower levels of intershift recovery. And now for persistent fatigue, workers using respirators had higher levels of persistent fatigue. So additional analysis, no significant differences were found in the 4 subscales of offer regarding sleep, tobacco, drugs, or alcohol use, days of absence from work due to illness, age, or facial hair. But further multivariate analysis revealed, and here we took the groups with the sleep, and we went from 5 to 7 hours or 8 to 10. For those who slept less, the 5 to 7 hours, and those who used the supplied air respirators, they had a significantly lower acute fatigue than those who wore the dust masks. And then for the next one, we split the groups between facial hair or no facial hair. And for those who did not have facial hair, using the half mask, they had a significantly lower chronic fatigue than dust mask or PAPR. So we did have some limitations. This was a pilot study. It included a small sample of 60 workers from a particular geographic area, limiting the generalizability of the findings. And all data were self-reported. And even though the confidentiality of the responses was guaranteed, some of the more sensitive data may not have been accurately reported. So in conclusion, this pilot study examined factors that might contribute to fatigue in a sample of auto body paint workers, focusing on respirator type and use. And initial bivariate findings indicate that respirator type or use are not associated with levels of fatigue among this group of workers. And additional multivariate analysis did reveal significant differences in fatigue levels. And these findings clearly support the need for further study of the respirators and fatigue in this much neglected group of workers. Thank you.